A very good morning to you. I'm just here in my kitchen about to make myself some coffee because I've tried to start the morning off with tea. I had a pot of tea, which was 2 cups, and the little teapot I use holds about 2 mugs, I suppose. And I put 1 teaspoonful of loose tea, good quality, and 1 teaspoon of, let me see what I call it, very special Japanese green tea. That's the stuff that you can't buy here unless you go to a specialist shop, but that a very good friend of mine brings me as gifts when he's in this part of the world. So talking of this part of the world, autumn, which of course is Lunasa in the Celtic calendar, is now coming towards the end of the first month. And the changes are beginning to speed up. Well, it's like everything else in this world. I don't know about you, but my perception has been over recent years, say the past 4 to 5 years, could be a bit more, but everything seems to have sped up. Now, I was talking with some friends who have said things like the vibrational level of the earth is rising, which apparently is true. And the laws of science, which we've always taken as like the Bible, are very entrenched. First of all, they're man-made, because it's the perception of what was at that time when the law was created. And of course, we have things like CERN now, C-E-R-N, all in capitals, which is beginning to pick apart the laws of physics and of science. So I keep a very open mind. I mean, this is something which you know now, if you've been following me for over a decade that I've been on the internet. Excuse me while I fill up this kettle. Yeah, the water comes through very slowly because it's a spring well and these are all second-hand bath taps. You know how I've renovated my cottage, using all the junk that people threw away. Yes, you could call it an eclectic mix. So where was I? Yes, the vibrational level of the earth. So I keep my mind open to all these different possibilities. Because when I look back on those who have gone before me, my ancestors, everything seemed to be written in stone for them. You know, part of that was the incredible hold that religion held upon them. Religion in general, but mostly Catholicism, I suppose, which is actually very dogmatic. I mean, there's other forms of Christianity which isn't so. But anyway, that was how it was then. And, you know, conformity was important because you didn't want to be outside of your tribe, outside of your social situation, etc. Much in the same way as people are today, except that, as I referred to yesterday in the podcast, there's a strong tendency for that conservatism to continue to exist, but in the form of obeyance. So if the government says, this is what you do, this is what you say, this is what you must not say. Oh, and by the way, we have enacted a law, so it's therefore it's the law. In brackets, the law's an ass, close brackets. Because they don't obey the law, do they? Now, hold on a minute. This little podcast rant could go all over the place here. I'm scattering my thoughts to the four winds and they're all coming back at me. Anyway, I'm just going to keep on talking and try to pull all this together somewhere along the line. As I'm looking out the window here, waiting for the kettle to boil, there was a beautiful bee just came up and momentarily eyeballed me and then flew away. Funny. Don't know why I find it funny. I have a very animated imagination. Sometimes it takes the form of animation. Just get my coffee pot cleaned out. I always leave it to the next pot before I clean it out. I expect most of you do the same. Anyway. Compost bucket down there. Give it a bit of a rinse out. I have a wee bit of a sniffle actually over the past couple of days. This is how colds try to get me, you see. They do try. But it's a bit like the COVID thing, you know. I had the kind of threat. It threatened me. It sort of got into me, and within inside 48 hours, my body had kicked it back out. Now that's the amount of vitamin D that I take. Whilst I'm talking about vitamin D, see, I told you this is going all over the place. I've got some very strong advice for you. Now, I never give any kind of health advice because I'm not a doctor, as they say, I'm not a nurse, I'm not qualified. But hey ho, I am 67 and I've got a lifetime's wisdom stacking up behind me, which must be the equivalent of at least a doctorate or two. I take a minimum of 2,000 IUs. 2,000 IUs of vitamin D every day, washed down by 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, which is dispersible in a glass of water. You know that one. Now, that keeps me thus far relatively free from anything too debilitating. Now, I don't abuse my health. If I do have the semblance, the beginnings, the kind of notions of an infection coming on, in other words, something's gotten into my system, I do try to spend the best part of a day in bed, cosseting myself, you know, keeping nice and warm, having lots of hot drinks, maybe even a little hot whiskey, which my father and my grandmother always believed in. I told a story, by the way, on, was it one of my videos on YouTube? Yeah, it could have been. Yes, I think it was. Of my father bringing this neurotic old hen that I'd given him years before to keep for me, and he kept it as a pet. And she was dying. And he spent most of the night up feeding her through this tiny little man-made funnel that he'd made out of paper or something. Whiskey. And the hen made a marvellous recovery. Henrietta, my mother called her Henrietta, Excuse me, just while I get a tissue now, because my eyes are running, I'm laughing, just remembering it. A piece of kitchen roll will do. Yeah, anyway. The wee rascal lived for, I don't know, must have been a year or two, I don't know. She lived for quite a long time after that. She was having to attend AA meetings regularly. No, seriously though, I think she took to drinking cold tea or something after that. My father used to put his cup down, you know, when he was drinking, and he always had sugar in his tea. It might have been that. And she used to come over and kind of guzzle it. Gosh, animals. Aren't they amazing? I mean, I only have to remind myself of stories like this to just to kind of reconfirm to myself why I'm a vegan. And I say I, this is my journey, okay? Whatever journey you're on, that's okay. I don't push it onto my children or my grandchildren. They know. They appreciate the homemade vegan food. Their journey is their journey. I'm not riding on their backs. So, but anyway, that's all the reasons. I'm just going to pause this now for a minute. So, anyway, I'm in my studio now with my big mug of coffee. Just looking around to see where Patsy's gone. I think she followed me through. Hang on a minute while I call her. Patsy! Pats! Come on! Okay, I'm going to go and have to find her. She's just sitting out in the porch. Right. She's a creature of comfort, is Pat. She actually likes to be nestled into warm places. And I'm going to post a little photograph on here, actually, that I took last night, because I just found it very amusing that she's becoming quite eccentric. Animals that live with me, even for a short time, within a short space of time, all their little eccentricities come out, and they come out very quickly. And each one of them's quite different, you know? Like, she has this wee thing now about going to bed. I've got to bring her bed into my room. I've got to place it just by the wardrobe doors. It's quite a warm little spot. And she likes to be nestled in and then covered up like a baby. She gets a bit hot during the night then and kind of kicks off her bedclothes. But it's very funny. So I'll put a wee photograph of that. And you can see. And I'm just trying to remember how I started this podcast off. I know I was talking about the vibrational level of the earth going up and time having sped up. And I know I've written about this before. You will find blogs about this both here on the website and videos. God, you see, I've made so many videos, I've written so many blogs, and it kind of makes me chuckle when I get comments, because, you know, the comments come up on my YouTube or on my blog on videos and blogs that could be 10 years old. The comment will still come through to me, and sometimes the commenter will say something like, what was that flower at 6:07 in the video? And I'm thinking, oh gosh, I can't go back and watch this video for, you know, 6:07 to think what the flower was. And then I might not remember what that flower was. You know, it could be something that's sort of been overtaken by something else here in the gardens around the cottage. So I've got no like I've got no formula for keeping everything in some kind of order. And I'm sure that there's ways where I could spend 3 or 4 days, you know, putting it all together. But quite frankly, my life isn't like that. I really just come on to social media to share, which is why I don't have advertising, you see, because, well, you know the story. You know the story. Yes, we could all do with the money, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I don't ever want to lose my enthusiasm for sharing. Because that brings me joy. Sharing brings me joy. It always has. And that's one of the reasons why I loved teaching. You know, when I lived in London, I spent a few years teaching. I say a few years because I spent most of my younger life raising my family, for which, of course, there's no pension, there's no nothing. You know, you're kicked up the jacksie as far as society is concerned if you decide to stay at home and raise your children. And then crazy that people think that's what a woman should do. They haven't factored in anything like, how's about rewarding them for doing it, giving them help and support and all the rest of it. Anyway, that's a rant for another day. But oh, that coffee's lovely. Nice and strong. Yeah, okay. Going back to this particular podcast is all over the place. Yes, it is. Again, I'm not a formulaic person. I don't sit down and write some kind of an agenda for talking to you. I don't stick to a script. I hate scripts. You know, you should be creating your own script as you go along. I mean, I can remember, and I'm sure you'll find all these clips and videos on YouTube. I can remember people like Harold Wilson, for example, who was a great leader of the UK. He was the Prime Minister, I think, back in the late 60s, something like that. People like him and, say, John F. Kennedy, standing up at podiums and giving a speech with barely having to look down at notes, because they were passionate about what they were saying. They believed in what they were saying, you know? And in fact, my education, my secondary education at the Loretto Convent Grammar School, in brackets, to which I won a scholarship, close brackets, open brackets again, that the nuns resented me for, close brackets. but we had to practice, you know, debating, etc. And it was almost against everything that we were taught to bring notes up to the podium and refer to them. One just did not do that. So I'm sure you understand why I have very little respect for these jumped up hooligans who call themselves politicians. I was looking at the latest photographs taken at the G7, you know, the most important countries, all meeting, all seven of them, the G7. And I remember looking around the table, because we're all sat around this round table, and I looked at every single one of them and I thought, there's not one of these people I would go and meet for a coffee. They're despicable. Horrible people. The people who would have squealed on you at school. You know, that kind of a one. Oh. Is it any wonder that the world is upside down and back to front? Really? Narcissism is like a rampant disease. And I'm quite sure that a fair portion of that narcissism in the latest generation is to do with them never hearing the word no, them never hearing any kind of constructive criticism, them never being told that, you know, you can't do this, or you shouldn't do that, or that is wrong. So narcissism has increased. Arrogance is running rampant. And look how the world is. Look how the Western world is. And the people who should say something say nothing. The best say nothing, and the worst can't keep their mouths closed. Didn't William Butler Yeats write a poem to that effect? Let me just see if I can find it. Yes, I know exactly what it's called. I don't even have to type it in. It's called The Second Coming. The Second Coming. So I'm going to finish this podcast with this poem. You can search it out for yourself and get the transcript and print it out, because I'll tell you, every word that's in it pertains to what is happening now. The man was a prophet. Yeah, I know he wrote it before World War II. And, you know, the same nonsense was going on then. The rise of fascism. And people say, and you know, this word fascism has now been turned around and upside down. So I would be called a fascist. But the person who's calling me the fascist is the fascist. And that's what I meant when I said words are used against us. So, let me read this. The Second Coming by William Butler Yeats. Turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart. The centre cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Surely some revelation is at hand. Surely the second coming is at hand. The second coming. Hardly are those words out when a vast image out of Spiritus Mundi troubles my sight. Somewhere in the sands of the desert, a shape with lion body and the head of a man, a gaze blank and pitiless as the sun, is moving its slow thighs, while all about it reel shadows of the indignant desert birds. The darkness drops again. But now I know the 20 centuries of stony sleep were vexed to nightmare by a rocking cradle. And what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches towards Bethlehem to be born. Blessings to you all.